We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm, and as always, it's a pleasure to be here. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. I am live across the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. And again, just always my pleasure. I'm going to pull out one of these cigars. I haven't done that in a while. A fun, wonderful, thought-provoking time. That's a couple of hours, just every Sunday, hanging out, trying to find a little something extra, something different, something that you're not finding over there, whether it's, I don't know where you're looking, and I don't even know what you're looking for. I'm not even trying to provide it. Don't let me kid you. I am just here having fun, turning on the microphone, saying what comes to my mind, inviting on interesting guests. I find them interesting and sometimes challenging, and that's where we stand. I turn on the microphone, you turn on the radio on your end, I say something, you listen, and hopefully somewhere in the middle we kind of agree on things and find a place where we like each other, and maybe we even build up a little bit of a friendship, and we continue to do the thing over and over again for years and years and years. Yeah, it could happen. Go to towardanarchy.com if you want to follow along. It's October 30th in my world. If it's not in yours, click on the episodes button. That's always the easiest way to do that at towardanarchy.com. Look for 2022 and look for October. It's not quite the last day of October. It's almost over. There's one more to go yet, but it's basically over and done with. It's the 30th, and you will see that Dr. Dean Lloyd is my guest today. He's a facilitator and healer. He is evolving the species, helping us grow through the healing and processes of connecting our body and our mind and spirit. And we just have great conversations. He's just always fun to talk to. He has some interesting insight. He has a view of the world that is different but not dissimilar from my own, I guess you could say. And so that's always nice. We always like to find ourselves comfortably in a place where we're comfortable in the conversations that we're having and the people that we're talking to. It feels friendly. It feels right. And you can relax and talk about important things. I don't know how often you get to do that in your life. I wonder that. Sometimes I spend a lot of time wondering what other people are doing, because I stand around outside of the store smoking a cigar or something like that, and I see people. We're right on a very busy corner, and there's just a bunch of people that go by all the time in their cars, and there's a gas station over there, so we get to see different people come and go, and there's a pet store right next to us and a hair salon, and there's just all this activity and all these people to watch. So I spend my time wondering quite a bit about what it is and who they do and who they are and what they do and who they talk to and if they have the same experience in life that I do, relative, the things that we can all hope for or expect to have, depending on what, depending on how we're maintaining our lives, managing our existence. Most of us have relationships, work, friends, loved ones, that sort of thing. So it's easy to make assumptions or ask yourself questions about them in relative to your own understanding of the world. And I, one of those things that I wonder about is, do people have important conversations? I don't know that they do. It doesn't seem like they do. A lot of the time, it seems like they're, well, I mean, they're important to them, right? We get that. Everybody understands that idea, that the things that we do are important to us. But are they really having important conversations? Are they having important conversations with people who understand them and listen to them and contribute to the conversation and provide them with a sense of growth, of understanding, whatever it is that they're really working for? Maybe they don't even know what it is. That's certainly a possibility. And hey, this is good news. You just heard my phone go off. Let's see. It only shows me just a highlight, but it looks like it's really good news. I said, oh, I have to tell you about this. So, okay, so he's here getting his stuff and his vending machines. Cool. All right, case. Oh, and the display case is good. Yeah, that's my my business partner right there saying that the former business partner is there getting the last of his crap out of there, which that's awesome, which is exactly what I'm going to say. Awesome. It's, man, we found another thing this past week, some other deal that he made that ultimately he took somebody's money and stuck it in his pocket and didn't tell anybody else about it. Thousands of dollars. You know, it's interesting because we talked to the gentleman that it happened to, and he understands he made the deal with the other business partner that it didn't have anything to do with us. And now he realizes that he's screwed. He realizes that he did a really dumb deal with a really bad guy, and actually got hurt in the deal. As far as our relationship with the former business partner, it doesn't really hurt the business. That was the one thing about it, is he took advantage of the other business partner, not the business itself per se. And so the business hasn't suffered because of that. But it borders on it when you come and when you show up one day and you have an understanding that something's going to happen, and the customer says, well, no, I have a different understanding of things. This was my understanding of things. And then you have to stop and go, well, wait a minute. Why do you have that understanding? You certainly didn't get it from me. Where did you get that? And that's when you find out that, yes, your business partner is ultimately embezzled some more money. Well, he didn't, though. So that was the thing about it. He's not... It's a long, convoluted story when it comes down to it, and there's it's just not as simple as him being. He wasn't even directly involved with the business; it was his wife that was. So his things that he did them himself. He didn't do them in the name of the store. He didn't do them in the name of the business. So that's a good thing. This is a whole good thing. That should be the last of him. We should not. Well, no, that's not true, because he still has some. There's a couple of graded books floating around out there that will have to come back through him to get back to us. But other than that, we finally get to sever the relationship with this guy. And myself personally, it's been a long time coming. I've given the guy every benefit of the doubt, and to have it end this way is not a surprise. It's not a surprise at all. It's frustrating because you just want people to be better than who they are, they are who they are, and they ultimately end up doing exactly what you expect them to, what you know they're going to do, not what you want them to do, which is what I wanted. And it's but what you know they're going to do, and when you have that when you remember that idea, when you keep that at the back of your mind, when dealing with people like that, you're never surprised, you're never shocked, and you don't get burned by them. I didn't get burned by them. I'm extremely upset with this individual because of what he did in and around the business, and of course my name is attached to the business, so that's the problem for me. Otherwise it would be no big deal. You're just a scumbag, you're a bad business person, you are a person who takes advantage of people. I don't do business with people like that. Bye-bye. It would be that simple, but it's a little deeper than that. Towardanarchy.com. Look for October 30th. Dr. Dean Lloyd is my guest today. He'll join us in about 20 minutes, and we are going to continue our conversation about the body as a temple or a prison, you know, that vehicle that we all have, our journey, that we take our journey through this material and metaphysical, this reality that we're in, the vehicle that we journey through it in, and our care and awareness of that body, and the levels of those things, the care and awareness of our body, how they can absolutely be our temple or a prison. And there was just so much more to the conversation. It was just something that we could keep talking about, because that's what Dr. Dean Lloyd does, evolving the species. Jesus, that phone is just so loud. Let's see, I gotta look at this because it's about this. He said he'd be back later to get it. It makes no difference. I don't care. Take the other one. Yeah. Okay. So, Dr. Dean Lloyd, this is what he does anyway, this connection of the body and the mind and helping us understand ourselves better. So this is the conversation. This is the heart of the conversation, because it is what it's all about in terms of our understanding of ourselves, our understanding of our place in space and time, and who we are, and then that helps us understand others better. That helps us communicate better. That helps us resolve the things that are different about us, the conflicts, the differences that we come across. This is why we have that conversation, because I think so this is a show called Toward Anarchy. So there must be something about anarchy here. Well, my anarchy is in general the idea that any of this past, this history, this system that we've set up, any of this has any relevance to my own existence. And so that should be real simple. But so if we're looking to solve the world's problems, whether we're doing this through a political means or religious means or whatever it is, I don't believe that any of those groups, those manipulations of people and ideas are at all it would have to, this, you know, he's such an ass. He absolutely is there doing this right now because he knows it's the one time of the week that he's going to be sure that I'm not there. That's why the other guy is there. For the books that James paid him, said he's going to pull the books for shut. All stuff I'm going to have to deal with later today. I wish this here, go away. All right, I just tossed the thing all the way on the other side of the room, so I will not be involved in any more of that. That's it. That's him to a T. That he's there when I'm not there, because he knows he's wrong and he knows he deserves a punch in the mouth for it. That's the least that he deserves for it. Knock a couple of his remaining teeth out of his mouth. But I don't want to do that either. So I'm glad that he does show up when I'm not there, because I don't need a conflict with him. I don't care. It's not that important enough to me. It doesn't mean that the guy doesn't still deserve it. It just means that I'm not going to do it, that that's not going to happen. The anarchy, what was I saying? About being at, so none of this stuff is going to solve your politics, your voting. This is not going to solve anything. I was talking last week about the very obvious bell curve of our society, the economics, all of it. It's all on that same curve, and it's all on a downward trend, and it has been for holy crap. Unbelievable. You've just got to be kidding me. And Jesus Christ, you know I'm Okay. Maybe that'll be the last one. Thank you. Gotta be kidding me. How many years, almost 3 years, you know, every single time, every Sunday, exactly where I am, and we're frustrating. I can't shut it off, though. I have to be connected to my family so that's the problem with being making yourself available to people. So your politics, your voting, none of this stuff is going to solve society's problems, because they're just manipulations of them, and they're this zoomed-in microscopic view of a larger picture. And as long as they keep your attention on the economy or politics or social issues, whatever it is, on this small area here instead of the bigger picture, they're always going to be able to make themselves look better than they really are. They're going to be able to pull off a little sleight of hand, a little smoke and mirrors version of our true reality. And so we're on the downside of all this, the politics and our economy, and none of it's working. And so the only thing that I see bringing us through this, coming back out the other side of it better off than when we go into this massive collapse, whatever we have to look forward to, whether it's a collapse or whether it ultimately ends up being a change where they finally get their new world order and they change our whatever that change brings, and just being prepared for whatever comes. How we do that is being able to communicate better with each other, making better decisions about who we are and how we are and how we conduct business with each other. Just there's so many areas that are touched on in this simple, it's really just a simple understanding of and acceptance of who we are as individuals and who other people are, and allowing them to be that way. It seems really simple to me, but it doesn't apparently seem very simple to anyone else. Okay, maybe a few people, but there seems to be sort of this larger percentage of people that still question simple ideas like that. It doesn't work to force someone to see things or do things their way, your way. We all generally understand that. So why is it that we forget it when it comes to society, when it comes to politics, when it comes to the manipulation of who and what we are in terms of our greater existence, the whole of us? It again, still just stuck looking at this smaller little piece of the whole bigger picture, which is interesting. That's why I pause there for a second, because I'm contemplating the idea as I'm suggesting it, because I'm asking you to look at the smallest piece That's what Dr. Dean Lloyd and I do. We're asking you to look at the smallest piece of the equation, which is the individual, you and your impact on your reality and those around you. So, yeah, interesting contrast. I'll give it a thought during the break and we'll come back.
Truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Okay, it's amazing that I completed an entire thought through that last little segment there with all the interruption and distraction, but came back to everything, and then So, and just the last thought is the break was coming on there that I was coming to. Ultimately, it's about focus. So they have you zoomed in, but they don't have you zoomed in on you. They don't have you looking at you. They do at times. It's weird, scary, weird. The way they can get you to look at yourself critically and alter what it is that you do or who you are, but in a way that benefits them. It doesn't benefit you as an individual necessarily. Doesn't give you any more freedom, doesn't expand your mind or reality in any way, really. It's actually a trap. And they're everywhere. I was reading article this week. We already knew about this. We've known about this for years, certainly myself, probably you as well, but for different reasons. I know about it, well, because the same reason that you do, but then also other reasons. And so this is this idea that they're everywhere, that they're in everything, and they're trying to constantly propagandize and manipulate everything, the state in particular, and the military-industrial complex, and in video games. It was just this article this week. It was like the revelation to some people, I guess. It's not to myself, yourself, many others around the world who understand that they've been doing this for a long, long time, and the Army and other groups have created all around the world, not just in America. Israel, the Chinese, the Russians, everybody's done it. Everybody's doing this. They're creating video games and creating a narrative for their superiority, that they're better, that their government, their way of life, whatever it is, they're better. And they're recruiting people for the state through these tools, or at least it's been relatively successful for them. I know that in particular, the Army, the U.S. Army, has America's Army. That's a game they created years ago. It's a first-person shooter, and they've used it to propagandize and recruit individuals into the military, and they've had some level of success with it. But that's it, though. That was the point, is that they're just everywhere trying to find ways to manipulate you and cajole you into doing something for the state, and oftentimes at sacrifice for yourself, at your own sacrifice. And they tell you that. They tell you that lie, right? That you need to sacrifice for the state, that we all have to sacrifice for the state, or that none of this works. I would suggest to you that it's fairly obvious that it's the opposite, that the less you sacrifice to the state, that the better it works. And because no matter what you may think of the current administration or the way things are being handled in this space and time, the reality is, again, draw back, get that bigger picture. What you see is a downward trend. And so it doesn't matter what you think of those things, because they're still trending downward, regardless of your resolve to get other people to you yourself be involved in the political process and move the political process forward to get more people to vote every election cycle. It's the election cycle right now, midterms, I guess, halfway through the major elections, and they're all cheering about the economy right now because there's a little bit of a boost in the economy that they've recorded over the third quarter of the year, I guess. And if you look at it, if you zoom in real quick to see what they want you to see, you see a picture that looks pretty good. Pull back out again. It's still on that downward trend. It's not getting any better. We'll come back and add Dr. Dean Lloyd to the conversation.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
OPEC Plus is expected to announce a cut in oil production today. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The oil producers cartel of OPEC Plus is meeting today and is expected to announce the largest cut in oil production since the beginning of the COVID pandemic. Some are forecasting a cut of 1 million barrels a day. That would obviously raise the price of oil and in turn the cost of gasoline. And clearly, a steep increase in gas prices this close to election time would be a disaster for the Democrats. So the Biden administration has launched a full-scale pressure campaign hoping to stop the production reduction. Remember when America was energy independent and a net exporter of energy? Ah, the good old days. If only Biden had not attacked American oil producers, stopped pipelines, and ended leases, and drained the nation's strategic oil reserves. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. Out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch, but it wasn't because I didn't know enough, I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy?
WardAnarchy.com, that's where to go to follow along, and if you want to follow closely, look for October 3rd. Just press the episodes button. If it's not right there on the front page, if you're not with me in real time, as it were, look for October 30. If you see Dr. Dean Lloyd, we'll be jumping into the conversation here any moment. And we will continue a conversation we started last month about the body as as our temple or a prison. It sounds like he might be hanging around back there somewhere. I hear noises. So
are they good noises, Michael?
Yeah, you might be a little loud on your mic level on your end might be a little high.
Okay, Sam, hopefully
that sounds much better. No, I mean on your end. As in it's too loud on your end and it will overmodulate and it won't matter how much he adjusts the volume on his end, it won't help. Yes.
All right.
You sound much better. I don't know what happened.
Okay, I just adjusted. I'm learning the ways of using Skype. My volume just got adjusted. So, well, it's good to hear your voice again, Michael. I started listening to you when you started the show and how life crept up on you and all the minutia and all the different things that that led into where we're at right at the moment. But the topic, of course, today is that, and you brought it up perfect way, is that what are important conversations? What is really, truly important? Are we going to get bogged down by the minutiae in life, the taxes that we're forced to pay, the price of gas, the getting the laundry soap, whatever these things are. But what I'd like to talk about is the Temple or Prison Part 2, as it's directly related to our being connected with each other. This is a big problem right now in our current situation, because what happens when we find ourselves being alone in our perception? We tend to isolate, insulate, and keep energy out. Well, this is an act of discernment. Okay, and over the years, just tell you a brief story. When I started in the medical field and I was seeing a lot of patients, over 24, 25 patients a day, and it was a busy time for me. And there are doctors that see more patients than that. My main focus, of course, was putting all my attention into their well-being, what their world was like. And what I had learned is, by the time I got home after my shift, I was so exhausted. It took me over an hour sometimes to get myself back because the output was so high. Okay? I'd sometimes have to meditate before I ate a meal because I was so wrapped up in my head. And that's part of the imprisonment, is that we oftentimes allow ourselves to be occupied by our own perceptions. And what I mean by that is that the world will always give us more to do than time to do it in. And it's so very important that we don't get sucked in by those that are so confused. I know it's seductive. You know, I listen to however you fall in the idea of how these elections are going to go, or however you feel in the war agenda and all this kind of thing. Ultimately, these are distractions. These are not about what you, if you have to deal with it and you're in a war and they're shooting at you, yeah, you better deal with it. But these are essentially distractions away from your own inner needs. Your needs come from what you want, because that's what happiness is about, getting what you want. So you ask yourself the question, well, what is it that you want? Well, I want to be happy. I want to have vitality, and I want to be able to share with my community, and I want to be able to, you know, sing if I want, or I want to be able to go for a hike if I want, or, and I want to be able to move about. Well, what is it? You have all these outside ideas, but where is your mind? It's still trapped. It's trapped in being isolated and alone. Very often you can be in a group of people, but you can be told, wow, how great you are and how wonderful, but your feelings have been locked in to being isolated. In other words, what happens with so much of our culture is that we can be surrounded by people, but be the loneliest people of all.
Well, I would suggest that's probably the loneliest time is when we're surrounded by the most people.
Well, I would hope that we are integrated enough emotionally to understand that we have to do the work ourselves. We have to find out what is it that is bothering us. What is true? When something bothers me, Michael, I'm all over it. If it's, what is this negative emotional feeling I've got here? Why do I want why do I feel anger? Why do I feel this motivation to, you know, go after somebody because they're trying to take something away from me, right? That motivation, that inner feeling that you have to defend yourself. And it came to my realization very early on in my, before I graduated even, that if it's bothering me, it was controlling me. And your energy follows your consciousness, right? So if it was something that was making me uncomfortable, I stayed with it. I said, what is it that is bothering me or causing me to feel so lousy, so angry, or what is it that I'm truly feeling afraid of? And then I had to be excruciatingly honest with myself by asking what it was that was bothering me. Now, you mentioned earlier that you were getting some frustration from a former business partner. Is that correct?
Well, actually, no. The frustrating thing was getting the texts. The dealing with the former business partner is basically done and over with. But it is. It's that. It's exactly that. This is the end of it, and it's going on right now. And the reason that it's going on right now, live, real time, Dr. Dean Lloyd and I, you, me, we are live. Sam, there at the we're live and alive right now in this very moment. And this is going on right now because of that fact. He knows that I'm not there. He knows that I won't be around, that he doesn't have to worry about confronting me. Well, he assumes that I want to confront him. I don't want to confront him. I'm done with him. I want him to get the last couple of things that are his, which is what he's doing right now, and get them the hell out of my store so that we can get on with doing the business of you know, selling comic books for whatever it's worth. But yeah, I'm done with it. I'm not dwelling. If it wasn't happening real time right this minute, I wouldn't even be thinking about it necessarily, aside from the fact that, yes, we did. That's half of these texts that I've just been getting is my other business partner explaining to me that he realized that the other one realizes that we found out about this other deal that he had done and this money that he had taken, and that they've managed to work it out to where that money's coming back. So yeah, if it wasn't literally going on right this second, I'm definitely not frustrated by it. I'm done with it. It's done. It's over with. We moved on. We had our best weeks and months, and will be our best quarter. We don't officially have a quarter under us, just the two of us running the store, but everything is up, and the customers love the place, and we're putting more product out every week. We're doing all that we can for it to be the best that it can be, and it's succeeding, and it's succeeding without this other person. It's thriving without this other person. So no, I'm elated by the entire thing.
then you identified where the block was, because that's what frustration is. Frustration is blocked energy, and where it comes from is where we as a culture have to be upgrading our ability to be, and this is going to probably catch some people off guard, but I am of the position that we just have to remind ourselves to get back to being human. What does this mean to be human? You know, all this insanity about, you know, transcending the human condition with technology, that's a burden. That is a tremendous burden. It is not going to make us better. What we have to do is reconnect with our feelings. And boy, when I was a child, I used to be so stubborn. I mean, I would say, that doesn't make any sense. How could you possibly be doing that? But the feelings are malleable in a grossly stupid public, and I don't mean to pick on people. I'm just pointing out that they get sucked in by so much of what is obviously not making sense. Okay? And they're angry. They got to point the finger at somebody. They got to, you know, say, you're the problem. You're the one causing this. But what is really happening is they are taking with their their skill, and remember, they're very skilled at doing this, being able to find the weak emotional baggage, the weak emotional places where people get sucked into and are led by that fear, okay? And that's the prison. Drugs do this too. You know, when you're talking with somebody who's been, for example, antidepressants is one that I like to use as an example very often. When people get on SSRI medication, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drugs, these drugs will reduce your ability to feel. Now, healing is about becoming aware. It's about becoming conscious. You've heard me say that several times. But what happens when you lose your ability to feel truly, organically, genuine feelings? If you're able disconnected so much, because the way that our culture has been very sophisticated in being able to disconnect from our feelings with distractions, like, I'm not saying video games are a bad thing, but they can be misused, just like television can be misused, just like any of the you know, the so-called recreational drugs can be misused.
Anything, work,
anything can be,
education, even working on bettering yourself physically and mentally can become that thing. Yeah, it's about too much. It's about learning the balance.
So what I will oftentimes bring back to main point, which is to say, what do you want? It's about matter, and you put this in. You also mentioned where your focus is. But what I will so often see, and people won't even know they're doing it. This is part of the you know, when you're aware and they're not, and you want to provide them a path, you understand that they're being distracted by things that are not truly bothering them. What is truly bothering them is their fear. Fear of what? Or their anger. What is anger? Anger is when you don't know how you feel, right? And when you have fear is when you don't understand. It means that you've incorporated something and become afraid if you insist that you understand how something works when you don't. Because if you were in a position where you had to debate something, let's say debate a topic like water quality, which is a big one right now for me, because there's so much is being poured into our water system that is just, you know, horrendous. It's not being tested for. So I'm promoting with my medical group a segment that is dedicated to clean water filters because of the contaminants that are not being taken out of the water system that are going in our bodies with the showers, the drinking and laundry and all this. So what I do is with focusing on one particular area, I have to understand what is it that got those people to allow that water to be poisoned or to be toxic or to be unsuitable, not potable water. Okay, potable water means that it's pure and that you drink it. But when I'm approaching the topic, when I speak to somebody on the topic, it's very often, well, if I stand up and say something about the water, I don't have the power to change things. I don't have the power to change the municipality and change the laws, because they're only testing for just these, you know, few things. So what is the steps that I do? Well, I put on a whole house water filter. That's going to resolve it for me. And what is required to do that? I got to pay the money to the plumber. I got to buy the appropriate system, have it installed. And then I will, you know, go about my testing so that I know that I am not getting exposed to contaminants that are not being tested for. What about the drugs in the water system? What about the excessive fluoride that's actually a suppressant to the thyroid and so on. So if I had to speak to those points, if I knew what I was talking about, why would I have the reason to defend myself? Because I know what I know, and I'm not afraid. I'm not angry. I'm just realizing what I have to deal with and not let the negative emotions run the show. So this is one example, and I did, for what it's worth, in my community, have to make a stand, because about 10 years ago, a little over that, we had a chemical that was added to our water system in my little community called orthopolyphosphate, which is a chemical that was making the animals sick, and people were getting sick too. And these patients were coming to me and not knowing why. And I found out it was in their water system. So I fought and fought, and boy, the kind of the opposition that I met with the attorneys and the water board was just immense, because they saw that I was interfering with their money flow. There was money behind this. The water system that we have has a lot of leaks in it, but the leaks were not just the only problem. We were losing not only so much water, but the water, even though it's really clean water from the mountains, it was going in the system, was being contaminated with this chemical. They justified putting this chemical to create a patina, which is kind of protection to the piping. The only problem is that when that's in the system, they had no real, I had to do all the research on this. They said it was safe to drink, but they had no real studies that proved this. So I, with my ire, walked into a big, hornet's nest, and had to, through many sources, like with Dr. Ray, for example, in Texas, and through understanding that this was used in naval ships in keeping their patina in the inner those inner cylinders, the inner containers, so that it wouldn't rust. There was an obvious problem in our community from drinking this or having being in contact with it, getting in our body, and I was making multiple connections with it. So I was the one, a citizen, somebody in my community that had the knowledge or had the ability to educate myself on something that they were not willing to do. They only based it on a safety study that was not only incomplete, but it was inaccurate. And I had to find that out. So I had to make a stand. But when I did, I was unafraid. I knew what I knew, and I had to stay with it. So I ended up in Colorado, you're able to have these meetings for your county or for your area at your home on a particular issue, be it cattle, be it water, be it runoff, whatever. That is a law that we have in place in Colorado. So I, at my house, held these meetings, and people were coming after they gained the awareness that they were getting sick because of the water and their pets were getting sick. And we found out why. And so I stayed with it. But the opposition, when I went in there, because they only give you 2 minutes, to speak. And I'm going to tell them everything I, need to tell them in regards to the safety issues with this chemical being used and the inability for it really having any real success of taking care of the problem. People were so outraged. It was the most attended water board meeting we've ever had in this community. People were out the door, and they were giving me what was happening when my voice came around. They'd do anything they could to discredit me, be it the way I was educated, those that hated my message, that we've got safety, you don't know anything about it, that these are the safety studies that were done, but they were all incomplete. So people, when they went to the next person, would give me their time so I could complete my thought process. And it got to be such a battle that they ended up capitulating eventually because the attorneys that were coming in were doing everything to defend it legally, but they didn't get away with it. And that we ended up changing the orthopolyphosphate with a lot of time.
So what you're saying is that to accomplish something in government, all you have to do is poison an entire town and kill off a few people and some cats.
That's part of the mechanism that we are brought up with, is that, look, some of these rules are put in place for a reason. But when I was able to offer a solution, and it did come down to us changing it from orthopolyphosphate, the chemical that was harmful that they refused to acknowledge, our persistence changed so that they added soda ash, which is basically inert. It changed the pH in the water, and that was our solution so that it wouldn't be as corrosive. And I wanted to illustrate that story because what I'm suggesting is that the population realizes that when you know something and you don't know where to put your energy, because it's very seductive, you know, to get angry and complain and put energy outward towards things. It's
the dark side. It's the easy way. It doesn't take any work. It's just expressing useless emotion or well, I won't say useless, but the easy emotion.
And that's to my point about being in prison. Is it the government that's imprisoning you?
No.
Is it you that's imprisoning you?
Well, some people. Some people.
Okay.
The government is imprisoning some people, but not me, and not most people. They have controls over a lot of things, but they don't have control over you, really, and they don't really have control over your mind. Not if you don't let them.
That's where I wanted to come into segue into stopping the wasted energy. So much wasted energy out there.
It's hard because I'm even having to deal with it in the business or on the topic, because I've had to change the culture, and I've had to. This is something that I guess a lot of people just don't really understand, is that there's all, especially when you're talking about business and work and the moving forward of society and life, it's going to keep going with or without you, and there's always going to be more comic books to sort if you're talking specifically about our job. We have hundreds of thousands of the things that is our job for the rest of our lives, is to sort comics. So if you're not right this minute sorting comics, that's okay, because they'll still be there tomorrow and you'll still need to sort them tomorrow. It's not something that you need to let weigh heavy on your mind, but it's work. It's our 9-to-5. It's something that everybody deals with and everybody lets weigh heavily on them when they don't necessarily need to. The phone will still need to be answered tomorrow. The boss will still be there. All of those things will still be there tomorrow, or they won't, and you'll be better off for that too, hopefully, if you're prepared for it, if you're ready for it mentally, physically. We got to go into a break here at the top of the hour, check in with everybody, but we will come back and continue the conversation with Dr. Dean Lloyd here on Toward Anarchy.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.